This is Jordan Sekulow. We now have more evidence of collusion between the White House and Clinton campaign on emails from President Obama to Hillary Clinton.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The president has previously said that he was unaware that Hillary Clinton had a private server, number one, and that they emailed one another infrequently. But this email flagged by Jennifer Williams, one of our top producers, saying that in March 4th, 2015, this is John Podesta to Cheryl Mills, quote, think we should hold emails to and from POTUS, as in President of the United States. That's the heart of his executive privilege. John Podesta writing this to Cheryl Mills, a top Clinton advisor, on March 4th of 2015. What happened on March 3rd, for example, Trey Gowdy sent in a subpoena demanding that Hillary Clinton preserve all her emails. Then on March 4th, the timeline is John Podesta, we now learn in the last few moments, sent this email to Cheryl Mills. What do we do with the emails back and forth between Hillary Clinton and President Obama?
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
And one last email that we got yesterday to put all this together. John Podesta, on that same March 20th, 2015, as Trey Gowdy was demanding the server, sent an email to the White House Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough. We have that email as well, saying, do you have time for a call? Can you speak by phone? They didn't put anything else in writing. We don't know what else happened. But as all this was playing out, why was John Podesta reaching out to the White House Chief of Staff on March 20th, 2015?
One of the most damaging is a back and forth with Clinton campaign manager Robbie Mook about a plan to push up the Illinois primary to benefit the Democrats. Mook explaining, quote, the key point is that this is not an Obama ask. This is a Hillary ask. And the Clintons won't forget their friends, what their friends have done for them, he says. It would be helpful to feel out what path, if any, we will have to get them to get a yes. This will probably take some pushing, he says.
And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls. The number 1-800-684-3110. If you want to talk to us on air, that's 1-800-684-3110. A lot to talk about today. It's Friday. We're talking politics. We're less than a month away from the presidential election and many down ballot important races for the House of Representatives, which hangs in the balance. The U.S. Senate certainly hangs in the balance between Republican and Democrat control. And new email revelations coming from WikiLeaks. Again, folks, though these are not the normal legal process to get information like this, like a FOIA process. No one is denying from the Clinton team, from John Podesta's team. No attorneys are out there denying that these emails are not, in fact, legitimate. In fact, they've said the opposite. They are their personal emails. That's right. Why they're so outraged by it. In the latest revelation, we see that you have both John Podesta in an exchange with Cheryl Mills. Now, at this time, John Podesta was not the chairman of the Clinton campaign. John Podesta was a senior counselor to the president. He was a senior White House official, Cheryl Mills on the Clinton team, and the emails are back and forth about what they should do specifically after they've got the congressional subpoena for the Clinton emails, what they should do with the emails between President Obama and Hillary Clinton. Well, what does that confirm? One, what we know is that there are direct emails between President Obama and Hillary Clinton. And two, they exist. They do exist somewhere. Whether we see them or not in more WikiLeaks dumps, we haven't seen a lot of specific even Hillary Clinton emails yet, but they've got, they say, about 30,000 more emails to release. We don't yet know. We also have, the same time John Podesta, before joining the Clinton campaign, while he's still a senior counselor to the president at the White House, gets an email from Clinton's campaign manager, Robbie Mook, saying, can you use the Obama influence in Illinois to move the primary there? We don't forget our friends. Now, ultimately, the primary wasn't moved, but you see, again, collusion between the Clinton campaign and White House officials. And there's even more we could talk about with the Clinton, her sworn statements under oath about the email investigation. That's all coming up today on Jay Sekulow Live. We want your comments. Donald Trump says he's releasing evidence very shortly that will refute the claims by the women. Mike Pence, the vice president, candidate for Trump, has said that. We'll take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We'll go through the polls and a lot, folks. Again, we've got some great videos if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope to show today as well. Go to ACLJ.org. Still fighting for a sea of BB. We'll be right back.
There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. The international media is closely watching this case. The world is watching. Now, with this legal delay, we have more time to push for her freedom, to advocate on her behalf, to demand that Pakistan free this woman who has been on death row for nearly 6 years. We've heard from more than 500,000 supporters demanding that Pakistan free Asiya Bibi now. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Sekio Live. We're talking politics today. Logan's in the studio with me, taking your comments on Facebook and Periscope. For those of you watching our broadcast, Than Bennett's in our Director of Government Affairs in our office in Washington, D.C. So we're all here. We're going to focus on the campaign-related items. I do want to update you. Asiya Bibi, if you weren't listening yesterday, her case was supposed to be heard yesterday, her final appeal at Pakistan Supreme Court. Case has been postponed because one of the judges recused themselves. I don't want to spend too much time on it today because we spent a lot of time on it yesterday. Yeah. But we've got all the information up at our website, aclj.org. The petition is still growing with over 500,000 people. It's the second largest petition in ACLJ's history. Her case could be heard in a matter, again, of next week. It could be weeks. It could be months. We had our attorneys in Pakistan in the courtroom yesterday. And those of you who watch our broadcast on Facebook and Periscope, we've got a video that we'll play during the break. But I wanted to update everybody on that. Asiya Bibi, she still lives to fight another day, but she remains in prison. There's a lot of pressure coming internationally. That's good. We need to keep that up. But there's also a lot of pressure domestically from Islamic radical groups in Pakistan. So there's this dual pressure happening. Let's make sure we're fighting as hard as we can. Go to aclj.org. Stay updated on Asiya Bibi's case. A Christian mother of five who's been imprisoned and on death row in Pakistan since 2010 is on her final appeal to Pakistan's Supreme Court. If she loses, she will be hanged. So again, folks, for the blasphemy law, which is on the books in Pakistan. A lot of Clinton emails to talk about. Hillary Clinton also had to do her first under oath testimony. Now, it was written statements. It was not verbal testimony. She wasn't deposed. She had to respond to questions in writing. And what she did, but out of these 25 questions about the email server, in 21 of the questions, she said under oath, "I don't know. I don't know. I don't know." I mean, you could say it 21 times, but when they asked about when the emails were destroyed, who destroyed them, why did it happen, she said 21 out of 25 times, "I don't know." And she objected to all or part of 18 of the 25 questions. Now, this is sworn testimony. The importance here at Than and Logan, I'll go to both of you on this. The importance here is this is the first time Hillary Clinton's under oath.
Right.
If any of these leaked emails indicate that she lied under oath in a legal proceeding, a new legal proceeding, she could be in serious trouble. So that's why this is politically significant as well, because we continue to see these WikiLeaks document dumps. Let me go to Than first and then Logan.
Well, I think the likelihood of that, Jordan, is actually pretty high because, I mean, look, one of the questions that she responded to that she does not recall is whether or not she ordered the destruction of emails. Now, listen, if she didn't order the destruction of emails, Jordan, she's going to remember that she did not order the destruction of emails. If she did order it, of course she remembers that. So the conflicting information, the 302Bs, which is the FBI summary interviews that Congress now has, those are all going to be able to be compared. It's going to take some time, but you're right. The possibility of discrepancies here when she's claiming that she does not recall, there is a great chance that there's conflicting information there, and that is where prosecution could proceed.
All right, and then folks, again, as we said, and if you're just joining us, we've also got new emails between John Podesta, who was a senior counselor to the president, had just left the White House, and Cheryl Mills. I'm holding those emails in my hand for those of you watching on Facebook and Periscope so you can see. I know it's tough to read it there, but they are now have been leaked. And in these emails, they are discussing, John Podesta is discussing, how do we keep the emails between POTUS, that's President Obama, President of the United States, and Hillary Clinton out of the congressional subpoena, because the Congress at that point had subpoenaed the Clinton emails. So we know now that obviously, and we kind of knew this before, there are direct emails between Hillary Rodham Clinton and President Obama. But second, that they went to great lengths to keep those out of any discoverable documents. Whether or not those are somewhere that can be discovered, we don't yet know. But it shows that, again, that collusion between the White House and the Clinton campaign. Second, you see the Clinton campaign manager, while Podesta still is at the White House, so he hasn't left yet, and he's a senior counselor to the president, a very high-ranking position at the White House, and Robbie Mook, Clinton's campaign manager, is saying, see if the Obamas will help use their influence to move the Illinois primary for us. Now, ultimately, they didn't get to move it, but it just shows that unbelievable collusion between the White House and, of course, the Clinton campaign. Logan, all of this is involving emails and tech. Hillary Clinton now is under oath about this. I would guess now the WikiLeaks team, which obviously has a serious grudge against Clinton,
right?
For whatever reasons. That they are
digging
to find out now that she's given testimony sworn under oath, if they can find anything that will indicate she's lied under oath.
Absolutely. I think that's exactly what you're going to do. You're going to be digging and finding out. I think the news outlets will be doing that as well. We'll be finding out whether there are specific things that place Hillary contradicting herself when it comes to what happened. And I think we'll know that shortly. The way they can search these things and find out, I think we'll know things very soon if they don't quite match up.
All right, I want to play a soundbite because we're not just focusing on Clinton. This is a political Friday with Donald Trump as well. He's obviously dominating the news more than Hillary Clinton with these revelations. That I think is unfortunate for the Trump campaign, but they're kind of doubling down on the way they are handling the women who have alleged him of inappropriate conduct. In fact, he's now got Mike Pence, which, again, I seriously question, and I'll say this, just this is just Jordan Seculo being fair and honest. Why on earth Mike Pence is doing this for Donald Trump? I don't know why he is the voice of this for Donald Trump. Why is it not a Trump campaign spokesperson, press secretary, communications director? I'm not sure why Mike Pence is putting himself on the line. I mean, I know he's a VP candidate, so he's putting himself out that way. But for this, throwing out that, we've got evidence to refute, it just doesn't seem like the normal Mike Pence. Take a listen, Bite 9.
These unsubstantiated allegations that came from the New York Times and People magazine. Donald Trump yesterday publicly—
Five women.
Yeah, he's categorically denied these. And there will be more evidence coming out that supports, his—
That they're making—
What evidence is coming out?
Well, the campaign is working on bringing that information out.
So again, it's not so much, listen, Mike Pence, if he's going to stay on this ticket, is going to have to answer these questions.
Right.
So why is he the one making the announcements? He also then said later today on CNN that it's coming in hours. So this is what I get concerned about as a Christian conservative, that Mike Pence, who is also a Christian conservative, is being used by Donald Trump,
the fall guy,
as the spokesperson for this to give him more cover.
Right.
And I think so far that has not worked for the Trump team. I have no idea what this evidence is. We could speculate a bit. Logan, what are the comments like coming in Facebook and Periscope right now? I mean, and we'll get to calls as well, 1-800-684-3110.
Most people are on the WikiLeaks situation or on the Clinton situation. That's mainly what the topic is.
That's
we haven't
good.
Really moved much into the Trump situation yet. A lot of people are asking, why didn't the women come forward earlier? And there is that speculation.
Yes, because he was already a high-profile, wealthy individual.
Right. So there
I get
is
that.
That
I get that.
That is a
But he
a
wasn't
question
a politician.
Mark. Yeah, and to me, the thing about the evidence, that's where we're going to be. What possibly could it
well,
could
let's
be?
Go through
it's
a few.
It's either If it's goofy, it's a lie detector test by Donald Trump saying that he didn't do these things. If it's not goofy, it's going to be trying to discredit the women, saying, look, here's other claims they've made against other people. Here's things like that. That kind of stuff could actually get some
secondary,
some weight.
The second point you're saying, so the first is it kind of like a stunt move,
right?
Where he takes a lie detector test, puts out the video or the results of it, and says no. I mean, we speculate on that because of his TV experience, The Apprentice, right. That kind of thing. Second, like Logan was talking about, is the idea is have these women made claims like this about lots of other individuals? If so, that does actually, I think that's the good kind of evidence to get out. I mean, you're discrediting them by the truth instead of, you know, just kind of what he's been doing, which I don't think is helpful, like by what they look like. That is just wrong. And then third, you could have something, for instance, if he did in fact meet these women, and let's say they got his contact information and they wrote him notes back then saying it was great to meet you, Donald Trump, and we'd love to do business with you, that kind of thing. He may have that. We don't know. But
there's big claims to say,
but they're putting
what we're
a
putting
lot of
out
focus
is going to, by acknowledging it and spending this time on it. Now, as far as we know, it isn't like other politicians in the past where there haven't been settlements or anything like that in the past with any of these people. So that is where the question of, it's kind of good timing, does actually have a little bit of weight.
Yeah.
Typically you would go, okay, well, no, it's starting to add up 5-6 people. But the fact that we're 3 weeks out and all of a sudden this stuff is happening.
Yeah, I mean, no, I get that it doesn't, it obviously is for political purposes. That's why the video was released of Trump. Then he was asked the question, did you ever actually do this in the debate? He said no. Then the two women come out and say, yes, he does do this, and others as well, the Miss Universe pageants. And they confirmed what he said on Howard Stern's show, which, again, this is some of this would be forgiven by Trump, by I think most Americans, because of who Trump is.
Right.
To a point, not sexual assault, though.
No.
And let me just go to Than, and we're going into a break, and we're going to get to your calls and comments. Than, the idea that the Trump campaign is putting so much emphasis on this evidence, it really better be good. Because if it is, then they will kill this story by the end of the weekend. The focus will be back on Hillary. But if it's something goofy, like Logan said, they're going to dominate the news until the next debate with this info.
Yeah, it better be good, Jordan. And the other thing is, the risk is not confined to Donald Trump here. I mean, the fact that Mike Pence is out in front on this, he has a sterling reputation. I think that's why they want him out front on this. But listen, if the evidence isn't solid, Donald Trump's reputation is not the only one going to take a hit. Mike Pence's is going to as well.
Yeah, folks, we're going to take your calls right when we get back. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, tell people how they can also take part in online as well. We've got that petition up for CFPB,
ACLJ.org. ACLJ.org, Facebook, or Periscope, broadcasting live there right now, and obviously archived later on the ACLJ app and the JSEC Your Live podcast.
We get your comments and questions that way as well. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jacek reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. The international media is closely watching this case. The world is watching. Now, with this legal delay, we have more time to push for her freedom, to advocate on her behalf, to demand that Pakistan free this woman who has been on death row for nearly 6 years. We've heard from more than 500,000 supporters demanding that Pakistan free Asiya Bibi now. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
President Obama and Hillary Clinton, emails between Hillary Clinton's campaign and the White House on trying to move primary dates, on what to do with Hillary Clinton, what to do with Hillary Clinton's emails to and from POTUS, that's President of the United States. I'm reading this is the email from John Podesta, who was a senior counselor to President Obama at the White House and now is the chairman of the Clinton campaign, to Cheryl Mills, who was the chief of staff for Hillary Clinton at the State Department as when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State and is now one of her attorneys. And the subject of this, they're using their Gmail accounts, by the way. That seems really safe and secure. Special category. This was sent back in 2015. This is after they got the congressional subpoena for Hillary Clinton's emails. Think we should hold emails to and from POTUS. That's the heart of his executive privilege. We could get them to ask for that. They may not care, but it seems like they will. So that is the actual email itself. Now, we also want to get into polls. The Trump campaign, we're not just focusing on Clinton. This election day, talking about the presidential election and the down ballot races as well. And Logan, people have been holding on the phones. So let's get to some calls.
Let's go to Dave in Brea, California. You're on the air.
Go on, Jordan.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how are you today?
We're good.
I'm right on board with everything you're saying, man. I appreciate all you do. The fix is in. We're going up against the Republican establishment. We're going up against the Democrats. We're going up against the media. This is ugly. We don't have the right guy in there to battle it, but he is our guy. And so we need to get the vote out. We need to get a ground game going today. The rallies are great. 20,000 people plus. They're doing a great job.
Yeah.
But unless we're out there banging on doors and talking to our neighbors and saying, hey, we get it. This is not good. This is ugly. He's saying some things. He's done some things. But the option here is not an option. We can't support somebody who as a Christian, there's two issues for me. It's abortion and same-sex marriage, okay? And one person is saying one thing and one person is saying another, and we have to go
I get you, Dave. Here, let me say this. You're calling in from California. That's not a battleground state, right? So it's very pretty much certain, and it's not to say don't go and vote because you've got congressional races that are always up there, state house, the Senate, you've got all of those races, local races. So I'm just saying for the presidential purposes, it's going blue. Unless Donald Trump had some kind of just surprise crazy, and because they're not spending any money there, neither is the Clinton campaign. So you're not going to see the ground game so much from the Trump team or the Clinton team in California. Here is the question, though, I have for you, Dave, because this is how you can kind of get you can get a pulse of a campaign, because I've worked on three presidentials and it's like six campaigns total outside of being an attorney and at the ACLJ. Are you willing, Dave, in California, to get on a bus to Arizona for Donald Trump and spend a weekend there if the Trump campaign said, here's where you meet, get on the bus at 6 a.m., you'll be back 4 days later or 5 days later. Are you willing to do that? That's just, that's a serious question that I have for you, Dave, and answer it either way. I'm not judging you on that. I'm trying to get a pulse of your enthusiasm.
Gordon, absolutely.
Okay.
I will, absolutely, but I can't continue to hear these things. He needs to come out and say, okay, I did this. Here's who I am.
Oh, I got you. I got you, Dave. Well, let me say, it doesn't sound like that's what we're getting today. It sounds like instead we're getting, Dave, I didn't do this. Here's evidence that I didn't do this. If that evidence is really good, that may help Trump. If it's really weird or bizarre or kind of goofy,
that's more likely the case in some ways.
Just seems like that's more likely. Maybe not. Maybe we'll be surprised. Certainly we have from the Trump campaign many times throughout this campaign. Then it may help Trump. But the question then is, there's people like Dave out there who are willing to get on that bus and go campaign in a swing state like Arizona, because I want to get into the polls that have just come out today, especially the state-specific polls. But I'm not sure the Trump campaign, they never really did it, Than. During the primaries, they never had to really rely on a ground game. Donald Trump was just able to do those big rallies. They didn't have to organize the bus trips from California into a swing state like Arizona. From Georgia. This time they can't get people out of Georgia, but buses into Florida, buses into North Carolina from other places. I don't know that they're doing that. The RNC usually does, but I just don't know.
Well, and then spinning forward to the general election, Jordan, he was really relying on the RNC and all of these individual members who are running for Congress. And I would say this to Dave Points. This is why I have been critical on a tactical issue of Donald Trump in this spat with the House Republicans. Because, listen, when Donald Trump, when this tape came out, it hurt the reelection chances of many Republicans in the House. And so what did they do? They went to try to preserve their seats. And I know it angered Donald Trump, but it was his retaliation to the House, Jordan, that pushed them away and hurt this get out the vote effort. So I would say to Dave, if he's a Trump supporter, he should be calling on Donald Trump to try to mend that fence. He might not like the fact that House Republicans have run away from him, but listen, their first and foremost interest is going to be preserving their own seats. Donald Trump cannot like it if he wants, but he is going to need their apparatus behind them if he's going to win the White House.
Yeah, folks, we've got just to go through some of the latest polls, and we'll talk about more about this in a second half hour of the broadcast, but the kind of state-specific polls, they come out each week. They've come out today. First of all, the nationally, you're looking at Clinton, and this is the real clear politics average. It's not really outside the margin of error. She's plus five. That's been kind of normal throughout this campaign. A few times Trump has narrowed that, but again, she's not at plus 10 or plus 20. We'll see if that changes over the weekend in this Trump evidence. But let's look at that, some of the states real quickly. In Arizona, Trump is only up by one. That is serious. Okay, right. That's why I was saying if Dave in California would be willing to get on a bus to go to Arizona, because that's serious. If Donald Trump can't win Arizona with the immigration issue being so forefront in his campaign, that's a one state you can say basically over. Colorado, Clinton is up by seven. That's become very difficult for the Trump campaign. In Florida, Hillary Clinton, again, this one is within the margin. So just Clinton with a 2-point lead. You look at Georgia, Trump only up five. Now, I still think Donald Trump takes Georgia unless there's worse revelations about Trump where just voter turnout on the Republican side goes low. But that is a very low number for a Republican. Usually they are at plus 10 in a red state like Georgia. But it's, you know, it's mirroring more, looking more and more like Florida. In Iowa, Trump's just got a 3-point lead. These are the battlegrounds. In Maine, Clinton is ahead by four. In Minnesota, Clinton is ahead by four. In Missouri, Trump is up by eight. In Nevada, Clinton is up by one. That's another one. Like, again, if you're like close, you know, if you're coming in from California where the Trump campaign should be sending people in, if you're only down 1 point. And New Hampshire, Clinton's up just three. And in North Carolina, these are the averages, up three. We can keep going. Ohio's a big one. It's basically tied there still. And in Pennsylvania, it looks like Clinton is actually starting to walk away with that. Right. And Virginia. We've gotten reports that the Trump campaign has pulled out all resources from Virginia. Makes some sense, actually, because Tim Kaine is the former governor, current senator, U.S. senator from Virginia. So it makes sense that that's going to be even tougher. And Pennsylvania, obviously, has been tough for Republicans in the recent history. We got through the polls. When we come back, we're going to get to all of your phone calls in the second half hour of the broadcast at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Take your comments as well on Facebook and Periscope. We are there's so much breaking news on the Clinton campaign, on the Trump campaign. There's plenty to talk about when we come back from this break. If you don't get that second half hour, Logan, tell people how they can either tune in or watch.
Yes, you can watch on Facebook and Periscope or go through ACLJ.org. But on social media, you can comment, and that's at Jay Sekulow on Periscope. You can tweet us at Jay Sekulow, but you can also watch Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow.
All right, folks, go to ACLJ.org. We've got an update on Asiya Bibi's case. It was postponed. She is still alive. There's been no judgment by the Pakistan Supreme Court. You can see that update, share it with your friends and family at ACLJ.org. It's the second largest petition in the ACLJ's history. That's at ACLJ.org. Stay with us for the second half hour of the broadcast.
There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live in our second half hour of the broadcast. To recap, for those of you just joining us, watch on Facebook and Periscope. Get your comments and questions in. We'll get to your phone calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. A few important news items, just so you know, if you're just joining us to stay updated. In the latest batch of WikiLeaks, the released emails, we have emails between John Podesta, who is currently Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman, who was formerly the special counselor to the President of the United States at the White House, and Cheryl Mills. In this email, which I'm holding in my hand for our Facebook and Periscope viewers, this is John Podesta from literally his Gmail account, which, by the way, folks, is about as simple as it gets, and to Cheryl Mills, about as simple as it gets. And none of these are redacted because this is coming from WikiLeaks. I'm sure they don't use these emails anymore. This is back in 2015. John Podesta to Cheryl Mills, who was Hillary Clinton's chief of staff when she was Secretary of State. Do you think we should hold emails to and from POTUS? That means emails from Hillary Clinton to President of the United States Barack Obama, and emails from President Obama to Hillary Clinton. That's the heart of his, Obama's, executive privilege. We could get them to ask for that. They may not care, but I think that they will. So that's one of the new revelations. Number two, while Podesta is still at the White House, this is before he leaves and joins the Clinton campaign, so he's a senior White House official, he gets an email from Robbie Mook, who is Hillary Clinton's he is the campaign manager, still is for her campaign. Not as out front as Podesta is these days, but he's still the campaign manager. He emails Podesta asking for him to go to the Obamas specifically and say, use your influence in Illinois and get the primary date moved for us. So again, this collusion between the White House and the Clinton campaign. It's the big reason why we believe at the ACLJ that there was no prosecutions here by the FBI. We talked about yesterday how the FBI and DOJ, so many of the FBI agents and DOJ attorneys are outraged at Jim Comey, disgusted by what the FBI director and attorney general decided to do on this and not prosecute anyone. The reason why is because they were protecting not just Hillary Clinton, but President Obama, because his emails are in there as well. We've also got, finally, 21 out of 25 questions that Hillary Clinton had to answer under oath in written testimony. And 21 out of 25 of those, the first time she's had to answer questions about her email server under oath. In 21 of the 25, she said, I don't know, I can't recall, I don't remember. 18 of the 25 questions, too, she rejected all in part two or in all of their substance, too, though she did provide answers. That's important because that's under oath. It's a legal document. And if any of these emails contradict now this statement that she's made in this written deposition, she could be in additional legal trouble. This would be a new legal case against Hillary Clinton, not just based off previous investigations. And finally, just so we've got it all out there, Mike Pence announced, and some of the other Trump surrogates as well, but Mike Pence has announced that the evidence which will clear Donald Trump from these accusations by women of inappropriate conduct is coming. This was just before we went on air, so about 45 minutes ago, within hours. We don't know exactly what that evidence is, but that is, again, that could dominate the news cycle for the entire weekend. Sure. It could dominate the news cycle for the entire week or, leading into the next debate on Wednesday, or maybe it puts this to rest. We don't know. We don't know until we see the evidence. And we're attorneys. We like to see the evidence before making decisions. We can certainly speculate on how serious it may or may not be. Logan, people on Facebook and Periscope, what's their general sense of this news? I mean, there's a lot on Clinton. It's just not getting quite as much news coverage because Donald Trump's, again, he's going to hold this kind of major announcement.
Right. Some of the comments coming, especially from Periscope today, really discredit polls. They also are still saying that a lot of people they know are silently supporting Trump, regardless of kind of what comes out. Now, I do think there is a line for a lot of people, but that line maybe hasn't been crossed yet. And this is one from Aaron. This is a good way to wrap it up. He said, I am now beginning to appreciate the wisdom of the founders when they established term limits and the entire situation for the president.
You know, folks, we've got a full bank of calls right now. So we get back, we're going to do a fifth and sixth segment, rapid fire rounds. So we're going to take as many calls as we can. We're going to keep lines opening up so you can keep trying to get on the show, get your point across today because we're talking politics. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. The petition for a Sia Bibi still very active at aclj.org.
There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. The international media is closely watching this case. The world is watching. Now, with this legal delay, we have more time to push for her freedom, to advocate on her behalf, to demand that Pakistan free this woman who has been on death row for nearly 6 years. We've heard from more than 500,000 supporters demanding that Pakistan free Asiya Bibi now. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live, this is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls. We're going to do two rapid-fire rounds on politics. We've got you updated on all of the latest news involving the campaigns from the Clinton side, from the Trump side. We did play for our Facebook and Periscope audience, but your radio audience, obviously you don't hear us or see us during the breaks, a video, kind of an update on the campaign. And we mentioned in that video one of the one of the independent candidates. He's on, I think, about 20-something ballots and is able to write in other states. I've seen some of you post about him, Evan McMullen and his VP candidate, Mindy Finn. He is an independent. They come from the Republican world. He's former CIA. He is a member of the LDS Church. So he's kind of based out of Utah. He's on the ballot in Utah. And here's why it's important. We didn't mention when we went through all the polls, Utah, because it's not usually a battleground state. But there are a number of polls. I want to go to Than on this. Than, you know Evan from his time on Capitol Hill. I know Mindy Finn. I worked on two presidential campaigns with Mindy, both Mitt Romney's campaign in 2008 and George W. Bush's reelection campaign in 2004. My wife also worked with Mindy at a political consulting firm for a number of years. So Mindy and Evan are both well-known in the Washington, D.C. world of people in our age group, I would say.
Right. Yeah, no, Evan, I believe, is 40 years old. He was a policy director for the House Republican Conference. And Jordan, what makes it interesting? You talked about if he could possibly pull out Utah, that Donald Trump would not be president of the United States. But there's a very narrow scenario, and I don't want to overblow this, but if that would keep either candidate from getting to 270 electoral votes, Jordan, that would mean that the House of Representatives would choose the next president, and Evan McMullen could, in theory, become the president when the House of Representatives chose the next president. Now, I want to quickly back up and say, if Evan McMullen is winning Utah, it probably means that Hillary Clinton has won in the Electoral College. But that is the scenario that Evan and Mindy are driving for, this election that is then thrown to the House of Representatives.
Yeah, now if it's thrown to the House, that's like the best scenario. I'd say the number two is that, you know, it stops Trump if they're part of that never Trump world. But they are saying that their goal is not just to have, they don't want Hillary Clinton in office. They want the House Republicans to be able to choose. Then would the House Republicans have to choose someone who ran, or could they choose whoever they wanted? I ask that because we know now, like Speaker Ryan and others, it's bad blood between that. So if they can choose whoever they want, I mean, I don't even know if they would choose someone like Mike Pence. I think they may go totally outside that Trump world, too.
Well, Jordan, the 12th Amendment says that they would have to pick from one of the top three vote getters. Now, my plain reading of the Constitution, and this is very much subject for debate, is that it would have to be one of the top three electoral vote getters. But there is a big contingent here in Washington, D.C. that argue that that is the popular vote that is, right. is contingent on. So there's actually some movement here, Jordan. And again, this is far afield. I want to say that up front. That maybe another candidate could get in and get 6 or 8 million votes nationwide and be in that third place position and make a pitch to the House of Representatives. But my reading says it would have to be either Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, or if Evan McMullen won electoral votes, Evan McMullen.
All right. So that, and again, this it becomes very important in Utah specifically because Utah is so solidly Republican. It's never really been a battleground state. I mean, all their elected officials are Republican. It's a heavy LDS population because of that. You have a conservative leaning, great senators from Utah. And so because of that, it's not a battleground, except for if you have a three-way race, because there is about 20-something percent of support for Hillary Clinton there.
Right.
There's about 20-something percent support now
for Trump. It's all but then 20 to 26.
And 20-something percent support for McMullen. If Donald Trump stuff gets worse, I think that's where you start seeing Utah really slip away from Trump. If he's able to put it to rest today with this evidence release, maybe he's able to pull out a narrow victory in Utah. We just don't know. These are all these contingencies. Should we get to the...
Yeah, can we do briefly? A lot of people are confused about this situation. So
yeah.
Mainly not to do with Utah. They understand he'll lose Utah, but can we kind of walk through just quickly again how that could impact the actual election?
Let me just walk through people quickly. If you do not, you have to get to 270 of the 535 electoral votes. You have to get, that's based on the 435 members of Congress and the 100 U.S. senators. So every state at least has three, because every state has at least one congressman and two U.S. senators. So that's the starting point. You have to get the majority of 535. That's 270. If no one gets to 270, it then can go to the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives chooses who becomes president if no one gets that key number. I think that explains it as much as we need to.
Yes.
Because let's just say this actually did happen. We could get into that at a later point. You know, we'll have plenty of time between November and
January. But it gives people
January.
The option to consider
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah. They should start, they can start thinking that way. Okay, time to start our rapid fire round. Yeah. A little early, though. We're still starting earlier.
So, we'll open up some lines, so make sure to keep calling. Let's go to Mike in Seattle, Washington first.
Hi, Jordan.
Hey, Mike.
I'm with you, Jordan. Pence picking up this ball is dangerous. But
I agree.
But hold my hand while we walk down Crazy Road a block or two here. Pence is saying no one I'm aligned with will do that stuff, forcing the campaign to answer instead. His few hours answer draws a line in the sand and will be the only way to protect his future from being in bed with a man of allegedly ill repute.
Yes, well, I that's why I don't know. I get why if Mike Pence has made the personal decision that he's going to stick it out, which, by the way, I called for very publicly on my Twitter and Facebook that I thought Mike Pence should drop after the video came out, just for Mike Pence's purposes, not even for the campaign purposes, because Mike Pence is such a good guy and I think has a long future in politics, would be a great government official for decades to come. But this Trump stuff could hurt him. But he's made the decision, it appears at least as of now, that he is going to stick with it through the end of this campaign. I can respect that. He knows more than we do at this point.
Sure.
But he's now become the out front spokesperson for the Trump campaign on how they are going to refute these latest allegations.
So it better be good.
So it better be really good evidence. I mean, this is coming from an attorney here, folks, and we're a legal organization. Because if it's not, Mike Pence was just used as a front man because he's a Christian conservative. That is the just bottom line truth. Not necessarily a bad decision by the Trump campaign, but Mike Pence would have allowed himself to be used. I hope he knows what that evidence is that he's talking about before he went out there. I mean, that is what... Maybe he does, and that's why he's so upfront about it. We just don't know. Let's grab another call.
Let's go to Dale in Dallas.
Hey, Dale.
Air, Dale.
Hey, Jordan. I loved your program. Great job. Also, I'm a Tea Party founder, and I'd like to be added to your lawsuit with the IRS. So,
all right, Dale. Hey, Dale, before you get into your questions and comments, hang on the line. So our call screeners, they will grab your information. We'll get you in touch with our lead attorney on the IRS matter. But Dale, that's great to hear from you. I'm glad you're a grassroots leader. Go ahead.
Well, I get the point is that this is really about voter suppression. The media has been consistently attacking conservatives each election cycle. They did false allegations against McCain.
Yeah.
You know, unless they're stating they're a bias, there's really a violation of the First Amendment, to be fair, open, and honest. And I think the SEC and the FEC should go after, remove their license or nonprofit status,
you know,
like they did with the NFL that were accusing.
I kind of tend to, I get the frustration, Dale, because many people get their news from headlines, and these headlines are very misleading. Like New York Times, they can use, you know, or the USA Today even, and the basic, just what's running on the screen on a CNN or NBC, especially the main broadcast, ABC, CBS, NBC, their nightly news broadcast. I mean, they can be very misleading. They pick and choose where to spend time on. That being said, my personal position, kind of position ACLJ as well, is more freedom of press, more freedom of speech.
Absolutely.
Not revoking people's tax exempt status. Let people speak even more openly. Let them have more bias if they want. Just let's just let everybody. And we have a marketplace of ideas. And what we see is Fox News is ahead of in ratings between all the news outlets. Double. We know the New York Times is declining. Now, they still have significant influence, but absolutely, their actual readership is very low compared to where it was even 10 years ago, and especially low compared to what it was maybe 20 years ago. So I think more freedom of speech, more that means more conservative talk radio, that means more conservative organizations without with less restrictions. Because honestly, our broadcast has restrictions. There are things we cannot say. I cannot endorse a candidate on the air because of some of the stations that we're on that are nonprofit. I cannot endorse a political party because of some of that. I believe that those restrictions should be removed and that we should all have full freedom of speech to be able to talk. And then it's a marketplace of ideas. You don't like what I'm saying? Turn on another channel. You'll find another idea. That's my way of kind of fighting back against the media bias. Do we have enough time for another call?
You may take a quick one. She's a quick comment. Barbie in New Hampshire, you're on the air. Line 5.
I just appreciate all the things that you do, but I was just, you know, Trump focuses way too much on rebutting Hillary instead of, you know, make the rebuttal and then focus on his issues.
Yeah.
No, that's the important part.
He doubles down, and this is important because we've got another debate coming up. He likes to double down and focus on, he did a much better job of it actually in the second debate. And unfortunately, the first 30 minutes of that debate were all focused about, you know, his video that had just come out. But he kind of always just gets focused in on the personal attacks on him instead of the policy and issue attacks that he could be putting on Hillary Clinton. We'll continue to take your phone calls. We got one line open right now, 1-800-684-31-NEWS. There's some breaking news out of the Ninth Circuit. A California law forcing pro-life pregnancy centers to inform clients how they can obtain abortions has been upheld. Not surprising from the liberal Ninth Circuit. That means it'll get appealed to the Supreme Court. So we'll break that down for you next week as well. We got three lines open, 1-800-684-3110. And Logan, people can get their comments in on Facebook.
That's right. But like you said, now too, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jacek reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. The international media is closely watching this case. The world is watching. Now, with this legal delay, we have more time to push for her freedom, to advocate on her behalf, to demand that Pakistan free this woman who has been on death row for nearly 6 years. We've heard from more than 500,000 supporters demanding that Pakistan free Asiya Bibi now. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Our phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. The lines are full now, but as we take a call, it means the line opens up. There is some breaking news. We'll break this down for you more next week because this is a case moving through the appeal process, now probably on its way likely to the United States Supreme Court. Breaking from Fox News, the Ninth Circuit, which is one of the most liberal circuits in the United States, has upheld a California law that forces pro-life pregnancy centers, and we do a lot of work with those pro-life pregnancy centers across the country, forces them to inform clients how to get abortions. So pro-life pregnancy centers have got to tell people who walk in for their services and help. And by the way, what they do is help women in these difficult situations, whether it's adoption, whether it's not, it's helping them single mothers and these support groups, that they have to also say, and by the way, here's where you go get an abortion. Mm-hmm. That's a bad. That's the Ninth Circuit. That will be appealed. And I expect that will be, you know, a long but legal battle at the Supreme Court. So we'll focus on it more next week. But let's get right to everybody's phone calls. Right. And we got a couple lines
Two lines just opened up because they didn't make it through the screening process. So 1-800-684-3110. Again, that could be technical issues, all these things. Let's go to Adam in Joplin, Missouri on line two. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Great to talk to you guys. I just had a question on the Hillary Clinton testimony under oath that she just gave through the written process.
Yeah.
If it comes out that the WikiLeaks email release does contradict her testimony, can it still be used against her since the emails that they're releasing are stolen?
Okay, so that's a good question. Obviously, she would fight it. You know, she would fight that, especially these emails that have been released illegally, but they are now in the public domain. Once they're in the public domain, though, this is a kind of evidence of it's the fruit of the poisonous tree is the doctrine. There are exceptions. So this would be a real legal battle. But you almost don't have to go there and necessarily if you've got the conflicting. And this is why important, Than, is that these written questions, this was a separate case, a Judicial Watch case, one of their FOIA cases. And they wanted to depose her in person, like, you know, orally. But instead, she and on video, instead, her lawyers were able to get a written deposition. That still was a big win for Judicial Watch and a lot of credit to them because in these written depositions now, this is the first time Hillary Clinton's been under oath in writing in a legal process. And so that could be used in a separate legal proceeding if more information came out to contradict her. Now, she was pretty vague saying, I don't know and I don't remember. But if there's one thing saying, I do remember, or I did do this, or I did direct this, that could be serious for her.
Yeah, and I think even in addition to the legal case, Jordan, I think there are two additional areas it could impact. One is the perjury case that Congress is pursuing, because yep. It could definitely reveal that she perjured herself in front of Congress. So I think it could boost that effort. And then the very plain one, Jordan, regardless of whether or not those efforts go ahead, the American people are going to have a clearer picture before November 8th on how truthful Hillary Clinton was. And I think it could have a real impact on November 8th. So I would say, legal question aside, look at the impact on perjury and November 8th.
All right, folks, back to the calls.
Richard in Orlando, Florida. You're on
hey, Richard.
Yes, I believe that the three people that were involved with the server at their home
Platte River.
Actually sold the information to WikiLeaks. They got the fifth. They got away with it.
Yeah.
Can there be any other charges against them?
No, I mean, they got full immunity. You know, those guys got full immunity. The guy who went on Reddit to figure out how do I use this, what is it called?
BitTorrent?
BleachBit, which everybody's learned about, how you can really destroy all of this evidence. I tend to agree with you, Richard, that I'm not so into the idea that it's just the Russians. I think the Clinton campaign likes using that. As a distraction, there's not a hard evidence. I mean, yes, the Russian government doesn't love the Clinton campaign. That's been clear, but I feel like they're a good fall group. It's kind of like blaming it on Islamic extremists, if you can. So until I have more evidence of that, we don't know. We don't even know if they're real hacks is what I mean. It could be leaks instead of hacks. There's a big difference there. Back to the phones.
All right, Clara in Cypress, Texas. You're on
the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yeah, Yes, I just want you to know I'm a big supporter, and
thank you.
I've bought your Unholy Alliance book.
Oh, we appreciate that.
T-shirt.
For our those watching
I'm
on Facebook and
corner.
Periscope.
Go
ahead with your question, Claire.
President Obama's emails where he supposedly sent them to Hillary Clinton.
Here's one reason. There is executive privilege, and it does make sense in our country that you can't just get all the information from the President of the United States while they're in office, because they are discussing matters of national security. It's serious, and they have privilege that they are allowed to assert. Now, the question is, will they come out through a hack or a leak? That's what WikiLeaks is doing right now. I think it's more likely you'd see it that way. And I'm not going to the morality of this, because it's not raw. It's not right to hack into people's private email. It's not right to leak that information. So whether it's a hack or a leak, it's wrong. At the same time, there are also protections we have in our law for whistleblowers, people who take action that may be outside the normal process because they believe corruption must be exposed.
And we have to report
it. We do have that protection. So in America, now you would not do, here's 50,000 of their emails. That's not how you do that process. But I'd say it's more likely that way, because President Obama, like other presidents in the future and in the past, will be able to assert executive privilege. And I don't disagree with executive privilege. Presidents need that to do their job.
All right, moving on. A couple calls left. CJ, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hey, CJ.
Hey, how's it going? I'm a former analyst with the military, and this is the first year that I'm actually going to be voting because I think it's such a major issue that Hillary Clinton has not been prosecuted.
Yeah.
And the major issue with that is first of all, I don't think the Russians are the ones that leaked it. It's generally a leak is something that generally happens when you have someone that has direct access to
right.
the network.
Right.
And it doesn't make sense that Pagliano would plead the fifth with immunity if they were the ones that leaked it, because he would have no reason to.
Yeah, I'm not sure it was him. That's why I didn't really disagree with that. Agree with that part, CJ. But I do agree with you that it's easy to blame the Russians, but it's WikiLeaks is about leaks, not so much hacks. Though they use hacker information sometimes, like you're explaining, and as you did explain, let me thank you for your service. It's pretty difficult. I mean, even for it's big, scary Russians hackers to get this information, you'd be pretty technically savvy to grab this much info. We're talking 40, 50,000 and more, and get it out this way. It's why, I mean, it could be the Russians. I'm not saying it's definitely not, but it does seem like a good way for the Clintons to shift blame and try to say, don't even report on this because you're using Russian hacked info to discredit us. Our final call of the day is Sharon.
Sharon in Nashville, you're on the air.
Hey, Sharon.
Hi. My question is, being a Christian, it's our responsibility to vote. But in my heart, I'm having a very difficult time.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Sharon, I hear you. I think we can spend some time on this next week on the broadcast, because I will be honest with you, I've been working through this myself. I have no idea who I'm voting for. And if I did, I would at least tell you that I knew who I was going to vote for.
You're one of the undecided.
I am at this point. Yes. And we have another presidential debate, and that is very rare for me, folks, because I have spent my life outside of the ACLJ working on Republican campaigns, including three Republican presidential campaigns. So the fact that I haven't made up my mind on what to do is telling. And I understand that. So we'll spend some time on that next week. Maybe early next week, as this evidence comes out later today. Appreciate everybody's great comments, great questions. What I'm picking up, Logan and Than, is that there's some serious questions about Trump out there that were not there a week ago when we'd have these kind of discussions and open line Fridays with our audience. We will continue to update you on ACLJ.org. Have a great weekend.
There's been an important development in the case of Christian mom Asiya Bibi, who's on death row in Pakistan because of her Christian faith. The Supreme Court of Pakistan was scheduled to take up her case this week, but now there's been a legal delay. There's still time to have your voice heard. Sign on to our petition now. Save Asiya Bibi from execution. Call 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.